This is my Bible. It is the infallible, incorruptible, unstoppable, immutable word of God. It holds my peace, my victory, my breakthrough. This is my spiritual roadmap. This is my Bible. You believe that? Give God a shout. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we do thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise and honor right now for this moment right now. Of all the places we could have been, God, you've ordained it that we're here today. And we know, Father God, if you've led us here, God, you're not going to leave us empty. So we pray right now, Father God, for ears to hear what your spirit would say to us today. We stand ready, Lord God, to receive an enlargement, to receive, Father God, empowerment that we might move forward and progress in the journey that you set us on. I thank you right now, God, that every heart ready to receive, Lord God, would not be disappointed today. Speak a word of life, speak a word of grace, speak a word of strength to somebody in this room. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Give God a shout as you take your seats. Amen, amen. Oh, that was weak. Give God a shout as you take your seats. There you go, there you go. Amen, amen, amen. I recognize that you we shout. There was a study several years ago that says that Pentecostals have better health than other denominations because they frequently shout. They frequently let it out. They don't leave stuff bottled in. They release it. You know what? When you shout, when you give a shout, you can be releasing so much. You don't have to, your neighbor doesn't have to know that you just shouted because you didn't have but 15 cents left in your account. They don't have to know what your shout means. Your shout just says, "I release it to God." And they said Pentecostals by average have better health than other denominations because they don't hold that stuff in. Amen. 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 And we are non-denominational. We're not Pentecostal all the way. We're Baptist-costal. We're all this. We got a little bit. We just believe the Lord. Amen. Amen. And including in that is giving God what the Bible says. It says, "Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph." I'm going to have to go back and teach that one time. Because it says, "Shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph," which means your voice sets the tone for your shout. Oh. Let that marinate for a minute. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. How many of us are shouting with the voice of defeat? I'm shouting, Pastor, but ain't nothing happening because it may be the tone and the tenor of your voice. Are you shouting, believing God for the victory? Hallelujah. I'm going to dig that. I'm going to put a pin in that one and come back to that. We thank God for everybody that's here, all of our guests. Come on, upper room, let's thank God for our guests. Our first time, our second time, our third time guests. I need to tell you right now, don't say nothing. Don't say I didn't tell you, but the upper room can be habit forming. Amen. You can be sitting Thursday at work and you're like twitching. Like, you don't know why I'm telling you. It's because the upper room can be habit forming. Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you. You got here, whether somebody invited you, whether you heard, you saw us online, whether you heard something about us and wanted to see if it was true, you're here. We thank God for you. If you will, at the end of the worship experience, allow us to be more of a blessing to you. We have our hospitality suite on the other side of that glass over there. If you are a guest, first-time guest here, let us show you how much we appreciate you being here. We've got some lovely parting gifts. To express our gratitude for you being in the house. Amen? Amen. Let's get into this word. I've been so excited. Minister Chris said, I've been chomping at this. I said, God, can I tell it? Can I tell it? He said, not yet. And it's for this moment. We're beginning a series, and it's entitled Power Shift. Power Shift. We're gonna take this as far as God allows us to take it. And we're going to move into this. I want to say the first message, whenever we start a series, the first message always feels a little chaotic. It always feels a little chaotic to me, and it may sound a little chaotic to you because probably because I'm trying to say a bunch of stuff without giving too much of it away. That the first message in a series is often foundational, and you want to cover as much, you want to say to get people on the same page, but you don't want to give too much away. And so I ran into this even in preparing this series this morning. The truth of the matter is, I'm very excited. I'm so excited about what we're getting ready to jump into. Because the revelation in this series, hear me, it will challenge, correct, and change us as kingdom citizens. This revelation that God is going to give us, and some of you have heard this, you've been in it, you've grown, you're maturing in God. But I believe that the word of God is a living word. And which means that you look at it one way, one day, and you see something else. But if you keep looking at it again, it'll show something deeper, because we're growing in this thing, and we don't know everything about God yet. And so this I'm telling you right now, this series is gonna reveal some things to us, and it's revealed some things to me that just blowing my mind. I'm excited. I'm excited to get started in this. Can you look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're ready for this? Amen. Let's buckle up. Let's go. The greatest thing that I can do as your pastor and as a man of God is to do my best to leave you better than I found you. That's the best thing I can do as a man of God, as a pastor. That means more than anything else. When we leave from gatherings like this, you should be empowered more than you are entertained. A lot of our churches, I don't want to get in that. A lot of our churches have turned into entertainment centers and less of empowerment temples. We should be empowered to go out into the world to follow and fulfill the assignment that God's called us to. And so if I'm anything worth my salt, I should, at the end of the day, you should leave out of here empowered to press on toward what God has called you to do. The most important thing that I could ever do as your pastor is leave you with a knowledge of how to access what you already possess. As believers, you're loaded. You're packed already with so much ability, with so much power. The devil is afraid of you. That's why he's attacking you the way he's attacking you. Well, that doesn't make you, pastor, that doesn't make really sense. If I got this much power, why is he attacking me? Because he's counting on you not knowing what you got. He has prepared his whole attack, his whole strategy is to get you before you get to a place of maturity with what you have. My job as a pastor, as a man of God, is to get you closer to the place to where you are mature in the things of God so that you can bear fruit. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to talk about the apparatus that helps us get to that place, and that is the person and the power of Holy Spirit. Somebody shout Holy Spirit. That being said, I need you to start preparing yourself for the supernatural. I make no apologies about it. I need you to get ready for the supernatural. Amen, amen. Hey, I want you to get ready for unusual things popping off in and around your life. Because when we start talking about the supernatural, our eyes become open. It's like when you see a car on a commercial, and then you start looking for it, and you see them everywhere. You're like, where all these Hyundais come from? They've always been there. You just never focused your eyes to see them. So when we talk about the supernatural, when we talk about Holy Spirit, you need to start. I need you to get ready to see stuff like you've never seen it before. Amen. That's no reason to get scared. There's no reason to be scared about it, because the greater one lives on the inside of you. Amen. There's nothing. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. The thing that we need to understand is, as real as this is, it can't compare to the spiritual. The spiritual is more real than this. I got this. Okay, I got a word for that. He says, as it is in the spirit, so it is in the natural. It says it like that. So the spirit is where the natural comes from. Amen. We're gonna dig deeper on that on Wednesday. But the Spirit is the platform where what we see now comes from. So the spirit realm is more real than this. This is two-dimensional. The spirit is three-dimensional. And so when we begin to fix our focus on spiritual things, you're going to see some things that you would not see on this realm, but they're always here running in the background. Amen. Well, okay, let me roll it down your alley. You're going to begin to recognize and discern how people's motives and hearts, even though they're saying something different, when you start understanding Holy Spirit will begin to tell you the spirit behind what they say. They may be saying, be smiling and cheesing in your face, but Holy Spirit's going to say, no, they're not for you. They're not for you. Don't say that. Step away. Run, Forrest, run. See, that's what's going to happen when you start preparing yourself for Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He will lead you and guide you into all areas of truth. And this wasn't in my notes at this point, but let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit is not a it. It's not a thing. He's not a wind. No. He manifests himself in various ways, but he is a part of, here it is, the Godhead. Godhead, you have God the Father, you have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit. He's a part of they call it the triune, three-part, multifaceted God. Well, that don't make sense. Well, yes, it does, because you're three parts and more. If you're female, you're somebody's daughter. If you're married, you're somebody's wife. And if you have children, you're somebody's mama. Same person. Three offices. Amen. The Holy Spirit, he is the same God, but three offices. So he's not an it. He's not a something. You can't catch him like a cold. Back when I grew up, he said, I caught the Holy Ghost like I caught him. Like you playing tag. No, you don't catch him. You get filled. You get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered why we don't see the same amount of miracles, signs, and wonders in America as they do in other places? Africa and those other places. I've wondered, why don't we see the same amount of miracles, signs, and wonders? We hear about people's feet growing. We hear about eyes growing into sockets where there were none. We hear about people being dead for days and being brought back to life. These things are happening. They're being documented all over the world. Why don't we hear much about that in America? Could it be because we don't have an expectation for the miraculous? Because most of us, mainly pastors and preachers, don't entreat the executor of the power necessary for miracle signs and wonders to occur. That being the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't get much attention and acknowledgement because, listen to this, he's the only person in the Godhead we can't control. Now let me, before you get too far, don't get me wrong. We can't control God or Jesus either. But they, listen to this, they won't stay where they're not invited. If you don't invite Christ in, he's not coming. He's not forcing his way in. He's not going to force his way in. But when Holy Spirit moves, he doesn't stop until, okay, two things. He doesn't stop until he finishes his assignment or we grieve him. Amen. Scripture talk about don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's going to carry out his assignment. He has a one-track mind when it comes to fulfilling his purpose. And he will do it even at the expense of your image, of your status, of your stilo, your style, your swag, whatever you want to call it. He will fulfill his purpose. That's why you'll see strong men, brothers who look like rocks. And when the Holy Spirit falls, you see them crying and snotting like a baby on the altar. Because the Holy Spirit don't care how big you are. Holy Spirit don't care what your name is out in the streets. When he moves, He'll move upon you to fulfill his assignment. And we don't talk about him that much. We don't acknowledge him that much because he can't be controlled. He can't be controlled. We can't control the Holy Spirit, and nobody really wants an uncontrollable element in their controlled worship experience. It's hard to control the Holy Spirit in your 4K 90-minute worship experience. Amen. 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 So often he's often left out, but we're not going to leave him out up in here. Up in here. Hallelujah. Because an unpredictable and uncontrollable as he is, he brings with him power, direction, stamina, and a clear understanding of what God the Father wants in the earth. And we need all of that. We need every piece of that. Look at somebody and say, I need all of that. I need all of that. I need clarity. I need understanding. I need power. I need direction. I need stamina. And the Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring that. So if he makes me uncomfortable for a minute, I can put up with that because he brings with him what I need to be successful and victorious outside these doors. Hallelujah. If I gotta cry and I mess up my makeup, that's all right. Compared to what I get in his presence. I may shout my hair down. I may cry my eyes out. But if I walk out with power, that's a pretty good trade-off. If I walk out with understanding, if I walk out with revelation, that's a pretty good trade-off. Look at somebody else and say, I need all of that. I need all of that. I need all of that, baby, and then some. Ah, God. The books authored by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are called the four Gospels. It's here where the life and earthly ministry of Jesus is compiled. We learn about Jesus' life and his ministry through these four Gospels. And these four writers recorded Jesus' works and his words. They recorded who Jesus touched and what he taught. We can find out about Jesus in these four Gospels. And Jesus took, in these four Gospels, they record the incidents where Jesus took 12 ordinary men from diverse backgrounds, and over a 3.5-year period, he developed them into disciples. Hallelujah. Now let's talk about what a disciple is. A disciple is, real plain, it's a disciplined learner. It's a disciplined learner. Somebody shout disciple. A disciple is a disciplined learner. To be disciplined is to be trained, under control, regulated, and orderly. Disciple. A disciple is not hot-headed. No. You may have hot-headed moments, but you're not hot-headed. No, nobody has to walk on eggshells around a disciple. You don't have to pick and choose what time. Well, maybe I should. No, I can't come right now. I can't tell. No, a disciple is regulated, under control, and orderly. And Jesus, he turned 12 ordinary men from diverse backgrounds. He developed them into disciples, disciplined learners. And here's our anointed aha number one. Here's our first anointed aha. Jesus didn't give those 12 men power until they were discipled. Oh my goodness. To our guests, I just hit somebody with a bag of nickels. I mean, I hit you with truth you can't dodge. Listen, Jesus did not give power to those 12 ordinary men from diverse backgrounds until they were discipled, until they were regulated, under control, and orderly. Do you wonder why you're not moving in power today? It could be because you're not regulated, under control, and orderly. It could be. I'm just saying, I ain't talking about nobody. I don't know your business. But it could be because you're not walking in the power that you know you should be walking in. It's because every time you get confronted with a test, you fail. Every time, every time Bumquisha and Shaquilla and all, they push your buttons, you fail. You fly off the handle and you give them a piece of your mind. And if your name is Bumquisha, I'm sorry. I apologize. But every time, could it be you're not walking in the power you know you could have, you know you should have, is because you're not disciplined. We won't live disciplined lives. We think as long as I got Jesus, everything all right. No, 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 ma'am. No, no, sir. No, sir. You still got to be disciplined. You still got to be disciplined. You may talk in tongues. You may talk more tongues than English. But you can't be going down there telling people they number one on 66. And it ain't this finger. You got to be disciplined. Somebody shout discipline. You talking in tongues on Sunday, but you just giving it. You're number one. You're number one. You're number one. Don't work like that. Don't work like that. Don't work like that. You can't be talking to falling out on the floor, getting slain in the spirit on Sunday, but then telling your kids when somebody casts the phone, tell them I ain't there. Tell them I'm not here. Mama said she not here. See, God will get you. God will get you. God will get you. You got to be disciplined. You got to be disciplined. God will not give power to undisciplined people. He will not give power to undisciplined people. You need to hear that right now. He will not give power to undisciplined people. Father God, I'm praying for a house. I'm in this apartment, but I believe you want to enlarge my territory. Wash them dishes. You got dishes from three meals ago. Discipline, discipline, discipline. He gave power to discipline people. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. The King James Version says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word teach literally means disciple. It's translated as disciple. So he says, go ye therefore and disciple all nations. Jesus told them to go make regulated, under controlled and orderly people. Oh my God. See, this may be the reason why we're not walking in the power we're supposed to be walking in as kingdom citizens, because we're not living disciplined lives. But I hear you super spiritual saints, but what about grace? What about grace? And my response to you is, what about it? What about it? Grace may cover us from the penalty and punishment of sin, but it doesn't exempt or excuse us from the practice of sin. Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm going to buy my own CD off of this. Grace, it may cover us from the punishment and the penalty, but it's not going to keep you from doing it. Discipline does. Discipline does. Discipline does. The Lord know my heart. You know what? He sure does. He sure does. That's a weak excuse. Discipline. Hallelujah. Thank you for that one amen, Deacon. I appreciate that. See, I got a description. I got scripture for that. Help me out, Paul. All right, Raphael, I will. Here it is. Romans 6:1. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. King James says, God forbid. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? If you're dead to sin, why are you still sleeping with a corpse? Okay. Ain't that illegal in a couple of states? Okay. Okay. The truth of the matter is that there should be some tangible growth and development in our walk with God. There should be some tangible growth. I should be able to measure. I should be, the same way we measure our kids on the door. I should be able to measure. You may not be fully out the woods yet, but I should be able to measure. Okay, last week you cussed 30 times, but this week you should only cuss 20 times. Perfection, which means coming to a place of producing fruit, is a process. There should be some tangible, markings of your growth and development as you walk with God. There should be a growing measure of discipline among us. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be stumbling and tripping over the same stuff this year as easily as we did last year. That's growth. That's discipline. That's discipline. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Most churches are in one of two camps. Talking about Holy Spirit. There are two camps. They are either very disciplined and not very spiritual, or they are very spiritual, not very disciplined. This is what it looks like. The very spiritual church can speak in tongues all day long, can slide up and down the aisle because we grease them like pigs, kick them on a Shonda, kickstart my Honda, come and tie my new bow tie, all of that. But we always paying overdraft fees. Can cast out a demon. Coming to you walk into places like this. What you looking for? I'm looking for a demon. But you can't find the bill in time to pay it on time. Very spiritual, but not very disciplined. The very disciplined, on the other hand, can live on a budget, but wouldn't recognize the move of God if it jumped up and bit them. Can live very regimented, know where everything is, very A-type, all this, just sharp as a tack, but if God would come, they would miss him. The problem with this is that God intended for us to have dominion on both realms. We're supposed to rule in the natural and the spiritual. That's what he says in Genesis. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the beast of the field, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He gave us dominion. That's ruling, reigning, dominating authority in the earth. Let me just say this, over things, not people. Don't get it twisted. He wants us to rule in both realms, in the natural and the spiritual. And our lives were intended to be in order naturally and spiritually. In truth, when my life is right spiritually, God will help me order my natural life. Amen. Contrary to popular opinion, it's not the other way around. When my life is right spiritually, God will help me order my natural life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus tells these 12 disciples, these 12 disciplined learners, to go into all the world and make more like them. Are you making more people like you? Be careful how you answer that. Are you making more people like you? Are you a disciplined learner? He says, go out and make more like you. Disciplined people who learn how to resist temptation. That's what he's talking about. I go out and make and disciple nations. Cause them to be disciplined enough to resist temptation, reel in their flesh, know when to speak and when to be quiet, know how to do and when to do it, know how to operate in wisdom, know how to behave and conduct themselves wisely, know how to have an excellent spirit, know how to be a witness, know how to pray, know how to fast, know how to read and lead people to Christ. He said, disciplined people who know how to conduct themselves and carry themselves in a manner that pleases God. He says, go make more of them. Don't make a facade believer. Don't make a fake believer where they look real good on the outside, but still living nasty on the inside. Don't make somebody a professional liar. When they come into the congregation of believers, praise the Lord, how you doing? Glory to God. Get, you know, the quicken. Jesus. Don't make fake ones. He says, I want you to make authentic believers and lovers of God. That's what he told the disciples. So Jesus takes these 12 misfits and he works with them for 3.5 years. And towards the end of their training, he tells them in John 14, soon the world is not going to see me any longer, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I'm raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Now let's break this. Let's break this down. I'm on my way out. Let's break this down before we get out of here, because you can't possess what you don't understand. Can't possess what you don't understand. Somebody shout, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. Jesus was the man. That's why you see a lot of dudes named Jesus today. Jesus. Like when I first started, that messed me up. I'm like, ain't but one Jesus. I got mad. I got offended. I had some, in my class, I'm like, how his folks gonna name him Jesus? The devil is a liar. But that was the man. Jesus was the man. Christ was the spirit on the man. The word Christ literally means anointing, the anointed, and the anointing. So it was Jesus the man with the anointing and the anointing on him. Hallelujah. That's why you couldn't just say Jesus. It's Jesus the Christ. Because if you said Jesus, you could have been talking about your neighbor Jesus, your teammate Jesus. You could have been talking about your coworker Jesus. But when you say Jesus the Christ, I'm talking about the man who walks in the anointing of God. Hallelujah. So he was literally Jesus the man anointed of the Spirit. So Jesus, the man, told them, he told those 12, he says, come. He said, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. You're not going to see this man. In a little while, you're not going to see this man. I'm going to down a cross. I'm going to be raised from the dead. And then I'm going to go to heaven and be seated in heavenly places with my Father, making intercession for you. That's what he told them. Can I just pause right there and remind you that we've got somebody praying for us 24/7, night and day, and his name is Jesus the Christ. You got somebody interceding for you when you don't know what to pray yourself. He says, Daddy, this is what Trisha's really trying to say. Daddy, this is what Marvin is really trying to convey. You got an intercessor seated next to God interceding on your behalf. Hallelujah. We may not have anybody physically on the line calling us and praying for us, but Jesus is interceding before the Father on our behalf. Day and night, he's in. And I'm sorry if I'm yelling. I'm sorry. But I told you I was excited about this, to know that when won't nobody else remember me, God remembers me. Jesus remembers me, and he knows my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give God a shout for the intercessor, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whoever lives, who's making intercession for you day and night. Hallelujah. 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 So get this. I gotta go through Jesus to get to the Father. I gotta go through Jesus to get to the Father. That's order. That's discipline. When God began to download this in my spirit several weeks ago, I was convicted because he says, listen, I've given you the Holy Ghost. Why are you bypassing what I've given you? And going to me, you know how people go over folks' heads? Some of you are in positions of supervisory positions, and it messes you up. It makes you mad when somebody goes over your head to get to. We do that all when we pray. When we pray, we try to over bypass Holy Spirit. God convicted me. He says, there's some things that I've already given you. But because you bypass the help I've sent you, you miss it. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you and guide you in all truth. But you keep bypassing him. And you don't employ what I've given you. You don't put him to work. We have the Holy Spirit. He's here with us, present right now in the earth. Hallelujah. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So when we pray in Jesus' name, because his name gives us access to the Father. I'm going somewhere. Can I have 5 more minutes, please? Can I please, can I have 5 more minutes? Okay. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and he's the life. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. Help me out, John. All right, Rafford, I will. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. John 19:13. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. John 15:16. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, so that your joy may be made full. John 16:24. Jesus is talking in all these instances. Help me out, Mark. All right, Rafford, I will. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus is talking. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, he's not done yet. In my name shall you cast out devils. In my name shall you speak in tongues. In my name shall you take up serpents. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. In my name you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Real quick. When I was about 11 years old, my grandfather came and he was preaching a revival for my father. And my grandmother was washing clothes. She was washing his shirts, his white shirts, and she washed them. She used Clorox bleach. And y'all know, y'all familiar with mason jars? And, you know, we drink out of mason jars. We drink out of down south. We drink out of mason jars. And so she had put this Clorox bleach in the mason jar. And it was in the kitchen. Because that's where the washer and the dryer was. The washer and dryer was in the kitchen, and she put it on the counter. And I'm walking out. We're getting ready to go to revival, and I reach for the jar, and I turn it back. And I swallow it before I can even smell what it is. It's straight bleach. And immediately my throat is burning, and it's hurting, and I began to cough, and I didn't tell anybody because I was scared I was going to get a whooping. I was scared, and we were sitting in church, and my chest is burning. That was the Holy Ghost. No, that was Clorox. I'm sitting there in church, and I'm starting to cry. because I coughed, and there was blood in my saliva. And I'm scared. Now I'm scared. And I took my brother's Bible and I took a pen. And y'all remember the Erasermate pens? And I wrote under deaths. I wrote my name and put the date there because I thought I was going to die. And my brother reads the book. He reads that. He starts crying. And we both cried. And people think, oh, they done caught the spirit. No. We thought this is the last time we was going to see each other. And I began to pray. God, I don't want to die right now. God, I don't want to die right now. And my brother was holding me, and he was praying, and he was crying. And when I looked at this, I didn't even know this scripture at first, but when I looked at this in preparation, he says, if you shall drink a deadly thing, it shall not harm. I say, God, this scripture was living in my life at 11 years old. Because at 9 years old, I got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I remember, and then when I was in college, and there was this girl, I'm going to call her Kiki, and she had come up. She was riding. She was with me. She never left my side. Her name was Kiara, but I'll call her Kiki. Oh, she might be seeing this online. Too late. I know. And she'd come up. I was a hall director, and she'd come up. I saw her come up, and she didn't look well. And she went. She was going to her boyfriend's dorm room, and she was there, and she was sick. And he was taking care of her. And he left to go get some soup. And she called my office, and she says, Jesse, I need you to come here because I'm scared. And she started crying. So I go in and I leave the door open because I don't want nobody saying nothing. I leave the door open and she is shivering. She's sick. She's got 104 temperature. She's shivering. And she says, here she was. She doesn't say, call the ambulance. She says, pray. And she's shaking. And she said, here I am at 19 years old. And all I know is to trust God. And at 19 years, I put my hand on her hot head. And I said, in the name of Jesus, we command everything out of order to get in order. We curse every spirit of infirmity in your body. And we cast it out in the name of Jesus. And we command healing and wholeness in Jesus. And as I began to pray, her head started getting cool. And her head started getting cold. And then she opened her eyes. And she said, I can feel something hot going through my body. I can feel heat going through my body. I said, it's because you got a fever. She said, no, it's a different kind of heat. And within 20 minutes, Kiki got off that sick bed and went to her own dormitory without calling the ambulance. Because if you lay hands on the sick in my name, they shall recover. They shall recover. Somebody shout the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. What am I saying? The name of Jesus is our kingdom power of attorney. Power of attorney. You know what the power of attorney is? Somebody signs over and they give you permission to do stuff on their behalf. The name of Jesus is our kingdom power of attorney. I couldn't go places, but when I use his name, I couldn't do stuff, but when I use his name, it gives me access into places and opportunities and it gives me access to things that I could not have without it. We have access to places and power when we use the name of Jesus. There's a store up the street from us, Miss Wanda's store. Miss Wanda's store, and we would go to the store and we get lunch meat. Buttercrust bread, Miracle Whip, mayonnaise. You know, you get grunt. Then I get me a dill pickle and get a peppermint. Put it in, y'all know what I'm talking about? I get me some lemon heads, some cherry chains, some balsam baked beans. Grape apes. I give me some of those. Give me some Chico sticks. I give me some now laters. You know, save them for now. When you eat some now and save them later. I never could save them for later. And so we do that. And my dad would send us up to do that. And he said, tell Miss Wanda, put it on my bill. I went in there with no money, but because she knew who my father was. I went in there with nothing. I was busted, broke, busted, and disgusted. I didn't have no money, but when I got all that stuff and she rang it up, I said, put it on my daddy's bill, because his name gave me access to stuff that I couldn't get any other way. This is what I'm done. This is what I'm done. This is what I'm done. Oh God. Y'all gotta come back. Y'all gotta promise to come back Wednesday. What am I saying? We may have made a name for ourselves, but our name will only go so far. But Philippians 2, 9 and 10 says it like this. God has highly exalted him, being Jesus, and given him, Jesus, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. See, look at somebody say, there's something about the name Jesus. There's something about the name Jesus. Let me tell you what, I got saved in that name. I got baptized in that name. I prayed for my sick wife and my kids, and they got healed in that name. I got a job in that name. I got out of trouble in that name. Hallelujah. I cast out demons in that name. So Jesus, the man, said, I'm not going to be with you much longer, but I'm going to be in you. Here's where I'm going. Auntie, come on up here, sir. Come on up here and give me my Academy Award music. He said, I'm going to be in you. Jesus, the man, was going back to be with his Father, but he was sending the Christ, the anointing, back to his believers. So go and gather. He said, so go and gather in the upper room. And we're in the upper room. In the upper room. He says, go and gather in the upper room. He says, and wait on the gift I'm going to send you. See, the thing that was on me, Jesus says, the thing that was on me, he says, I'm going to send it to you. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father. This and I'm done. Jesus was saying that just because I'm with my Father, the miracle shouldn't stop. They should increase, as a matter of fact. They should multiply. Because the Christ on my flesh, Jesus is saying, is now the Christ in you. The Christ that was on me is now the Christ in every believer that names my name. Hallelujah. The devil thought that he had trouble with just one son of God. But when we acknowledge, I need everybody standing, when we acknowledge and accept the presence and power of Holy Spirit, John 3:1-2 comes into play. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The Holy Spirit reveals. The Holy Spirit instructs. Holy Spirit directs. He supports. He sustains. He's not just for your shout. He's not just for your tongue. He's for your life. That your life might reflect the image of God wherever you go. What allows one person to hold themselves together, to maintain their composure when being cursed out, misused, and abused? Is it because they just take it? No, it's not. No. Every person has a breaking point. What allows you to go beyond the breaking point? The Holy Ghost. I know I'm not the only one in this room. I've endured some things, and I walked away, and I said, how did I get through that and keep my job? I've had some folk pop off on me, and especially in this political climate, and say some stuff that, that outside of the Holy Ghost, I love Jesus, but I do know how to use these hands. And I will lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about healing hands neither. Had it not been for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God, when he's allowed to move and flow and given permission to rearrange and reorder and reprioritize, that stuff you think you could not endure, piece of cake. because the Holy Spirit of God is in you. And what people marvel at, ooh, I don't know how you did that. I can't see. Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. What keeps a woman from going, we say it back home, going smooth off and destroying everything that they've built because somebody betrays them? Holy Ghost. What causes a man not to commit himself to wearing orange for extended periods of time? Hold his peace and let the Lord fight his battle. The Holy Ghost. What allows a mother to lay down and go to sleep and find peace when there seems to be no peace? When her baby is too far away from her to touch physically. What allows her to be able to close her eyes and get the needed rest for her body? The Holy Spirit. Because she understands, God, when I can't, you can. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. What keeps marriages together when my flaws show up and your flaws show up and they collide? But we know God has put us together. What keeps us from tearing each other apart because of our weaknesses we see? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We can't be victorious without the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you right now, when we begin to let Holy Spirit rule, give Holy Spirit permission, you're going to begin to see the flow of God like you've never seen before in your life. You don't need to quicken or speak in tongues to prove you have the Holy Ghost. The greatest evidence, the Bible says that the tongues, and religion has done a real good job at making us believe if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. The Bible says you read the Bible. If you read the Bible, it says it is an evidence. It means it's one evidence. It's one evidence. The real proof that the Holy Spirit resides in you is a disciplined life. An orderly, regulated, under control life. Under whose control? Under God's control. Right where you are, I need you to just grab hands with that person beside you. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus, your grace, your mercy. I pray your love, your strength, Lord God. As I connect and create faith tie with my brother, my sister, I thank you for meeting every need in their life, every tangible need, every intangible need. I thank you right now for being our source and our supply. And Father, I thank you for the helper in the Holy Spirit, our guide, our teacher. Thank you right now, God, that we all would acknowledge his presence more. We all would employ him more in the name of Jesus. I pray that in the following days that we would recognize when we come face to face with something that we don't know or understand, that we employ the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what shall I do? Is it mine? Shall I go? Shall I stay? I thank you. I thank you for questions. I thank you for inquiries of the Holy Spirit as to which direction we should go, as to what choice we should make, as to what stance we should take. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit leading and guiding us into all areas of truth. And when our hearts are overwhelmed, I thank you for that same Spirit leading us to the rock that's higher than we are. I pray a fresh filling of Holy Spirit right now in the heart of every believer, I pray. I pray for my brother, my sister, whose hand I hold. I pray strength. I pray life. Touched by your Spirit, oh God. Infuse hope into that hand that I hold right now, oh God. Infuse life into that hand that I hold for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now release that hand and give God the best praise you got. Come on, give him the best praise you got. Come on, give it up, 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 give it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do me a favor and touch three people and say, neighbor, you got power. You got power in the Holy Ghost. You got power in the Holy Ghost. You got power in the Holy Ghost.